Thanks for being here, everyone. When is people crawling in? I had like four guys tell me they would be here, and not a single one is here.
It was the polite, I'm going to be here.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
be there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Never trust that. My name's Aaron Ottaway, as I've said to a lot of you, pastor of a church plant called Restoration in Cambridge. We planted just over 4 years ago, and I'm working part-time with Mark and the church planting team at Feb Central. And I'll let Mark introduce himself in a second before we get into things. Welcome to this seminar. Is that what it's called? It's a workshop called Your Next 5 Years. And I know that sounds probably a little bit like Tony Robbins-esque. You know what I mean? Like motivational speaker type.
We're going for that
thing.
I
apologize for that. It does sound a little motivational speaker-esque, and I apologize for that. Actually, John knows this person who told a story off the top of my head. One of my favorite Tony Robbins stories was, I don't know if you've heard or ever Googled Tony Robbins fiasco or one of his rallies, but you know who Tony Robbins is, right? Motivational speaker. What he would do was give this motivational message, and then often afterwards he would get people to do the coal walk, right? You'd lay out coals, but they'd be meeting in a big stadium. They'd lay out coals 20 feet long, five feet wide, and then everyone would be pumped up on motivation, and then there would be a challenge, and then to overcome your fear, and everyone would, you'd be challenged to walk the coal walk, okay? One story, one rally made headlines, though, and apparently, they've done this before, but apparently the people who were laying out the coal laid it out too late and didn't give enough time for the coal to cool down enough.
Nice.
So when Tony Robbins pumped up the crowd and everyone was challenged to walk, you can Google this, and when Tony Robbins challenged everyone to walk the coal walk, as soon as about 30 people made it halfway, you can smell burning flesh in the stadium. And about 30 people got shipped, called 911, got shipped to the emergency room for second-degree burns all over their feet.
Right? Tony!
There's Tony Robbins. Okay. There's no coal walk here today, so there won't be a coal walk here. However, I kind of, you know, that's like motivation without a proper introspection. Like, should I actually do this? Like, is this a wise, smart thing to do? There is something really valuable about examining ourselves. Like, where are we at and where we're going in life? And I was just talking to someone last night, a friend of mine who was in a church serving, head down. And he said, Aaron, I'm so in day-to-day ministry. It's like I can't even put my head up to see where I am or what direction I'm going. I'm just like, I'm trying to get through the day. It's like you're washed out into a sea, and you're just swimming like crazy with your head down, but you don't know if you're swimming farther from the shore or you're swimming toward the shore. You're just swimming. And I think that's what a lot of ministry feels like, right? You're just trying to keep your head above water without drowning. So, I mean, this is not going to be mostly informational or practical, like the how-tos, church planting, even though we're on a church planting team. This is not going to be that at all. However, if you're interested in the how-tos, that's what we're here for. You can talk to us afterwards. Nor is this going to be just merely inspirational. We want to give you an hour or 45 minutes to kind of get your head up. Where is shore? Where am I? And where am I going in ministry? So we hope this will give you just that kind of a brief time to be able to step back and do this. Not just only where am I going, but do I even like this? Do I even like doing this? You know what I mean? Yeah. To do that, Mark's going to share his experience, not necessarily of planting, but he's going to rewind the clock a little bit before planting to see where he was at. So can I just pray for us and for you as you share here in a second? God, thank you so much for the gift of ministry in the church. It is a gift. It's a privilege to be able to serve you, to serve our churches. The gifts that you have given us, that you know, even in those weeks where it feels like our head is down and we're swimming for our life and trying to stay above water, it is a gift. It's a grace gift from you. And so we don't take that for granted. But we also understand that there is this restlessness that we can experience in ministry. not being lost in the waves of ministry life. And Lord, I just pray that as we have this time that we could spend, I just pray that you would, by your grace, give us a little bit of clarity, but also a lot more than clarity, give us a lot of faith to take a next step in the right direction, even if we don't exactly know where that's going. So we pray for this in your name. Amen. Mark, floor is yours for a while.
Thanks. So, like I said, my name is Mark, and I am part of the Church Planting Catalyst team, but this isn't a church planting seminar. It's really just kind of understanding kind of the next 5 years, what does that look like for us potentially. It's interesting. So I have a couple of questions that we're going to ask. So how many of you are part of a church, like actually like working for a church, and then in like, so paid vocational, that kind of thing? Okay, so what about parachurch?
I work for parachurch, but I'm a fairly significant volunteer.
Okay, now dig. So how many of you are, like, as far as working in a church context, are in a church that is multi-staff? So it's not just you, but there's quite a few people in that, okay. And then it's just you and just the one other person. Okay. And how many of you have been in that role for 3 years or less? Okay. And then 4 to 6? 7 to 10? Okay. And then longer. Was it 21 now, Lee? Okay, so 21 in the same place, right? In the same church for a long time. Okay. So we call this the next 5 years. And the idea is before we get to the next 5 years, we kind of have to understand a little bit of where we are. Just let's take a bit of a look at kind of where we are in our space. My story highlights is there's a song by The Clash. I'm a little older than most of you, probably all of you. There's a song by The Clash, and it's "Should I Stay or Should I Go Now?" And you probably heard it before. Maybe you're humming in your head. If you haven't, you should look it up. But it says there's a phrase there that says, "If I go, there'll be trouble, and if I stay, it'll be double." So it's interesting. I don't know about you, but that was kind of like the theme song for ministry for me for a really long time. I've been in vocational ministry for probably about 26 years in various churches, and there has been some significant times in those churches and in those times of my life that I've actually been wondering, is this time for me to go? What's next for me? Because there's this a little bit of a restlessness. I don't know if you've ever had a restlessness before. And again, so we want to give some voice to that a little bit. We don't want to say that that's wrong or right. Let's just talk about that for a little bit and identify that it's actually there. Especially when you're in an associate kind of role. I mean, or working kind of underneath a group of people, that restlessness happens. And for me, it happened after, I was in a church in Owen Sound for about 6 years and left there to go to a church in Cambridge. And I was there for about 3 years. Great church. It's a fantastic church. But the church was undergoing some leadership changes. A new lead pastor came in, and over that time, I just realized, you know, this isn't going to work. This relationship and kind of how I'm wired, the growth of my life at that point, I just knew that it wasn't going to be a long-term fit for me. So I remember sitting there thinking, should I stay or should I go? I loved what I did. I loved the people I was working with. I loved the kids. I was a youth pastor at the time. And I absolutely loved it. But there was just this restlessness that started, and it began to brew and began to go. And then so it was in that time period, I'm asking the Lord, what's next for me? And I'm asking, should I stay or should I go? If I stay, you know, this is what's going to look like. If I go, what about this and what about that? And then the Lord called me to actually leave laterally, basically, to another church within a different, just a different city. So I was at this other church for about 5 years as the family ministries pastor, which that was early on, which what does that even mean, family ministries? They just don't want to call it children's ministry anymore. We're going to call it family because we want the whole family, but who's not in a family? So we didn't really understand what that meant. So we're trying to develop a bunch of things at that point. And it was about 5 years into that particular ministry. I loved the church. Loved what God was doing. It was fantastic. But I started to get a little frustrated. There was a check in my spirit. There was a little bit of restlessness in me. And I started to identify, what is the restlessness? What is that going on in my mind, in my heart? And it was a little bit of a frustration, I'd be honest. Maybe the frustration that it was an established church, a church that's been going on for a really long time. And I just noticed that church, there was a lot of gaps not being met in our community. And so I remember thinking to myself, man, someone needs to reach those gaps. We need to step into there, but it's not my role. And really, there's nobody's role for that. And I struggled with it because I'm an evangelistic heart. And I just really wanted to see something happen in some areas in our community that wasn't happening, and it just seemed like it was being forgotten. And so there was this restlessness, and I knew I wasn't supposed to leave. So as I'm checking and I'm talking to the Lord, I knew I wasn't supposed to move laterally somewhere else, even though some opportunities may have come up. I was like, no, but I still feel called here. But something's got to change. And it was in that time period I approached the leadership of our church. And I was like, what about this and this? And so over that time, the Lord opened up a door for us to change ministry within that church. So I was the associate pastor of family, and then the Lord opened up a door for me to actually change into kind of outreach, and it just it's changed a little bit. So in that particular, should I stay or should I go? God said, no, I want you to stay because I still have something different, but I wasn't going to stay the exact same way that I was. I changed. The Lord changed my role, changed my position, and things happened. And so then we were there for about 8 years, and a little bit longer than 8 years. And it was in that time period after my role had changed and shifted, actually shifted another time because the needs of the church dictated that I would shift it to another role, and I did that. And it was 8 years later, I'd been there, and I loved the church. I loved the people of the church. But then I realized a couple of things there. The Lord just gave me, another check in my spirit, and I started praying through it and fasted a lot. I'm a faster. I like to fast. And so I was like, if there's something there, maybe it's indigestion, maybe I just ate something wrong, so I'm going to let it sit for a little while. Let it roll, and then over time, I just started to ask, Lord, what's next? And I started to look at some of the frustrations or some of the things, and again, frustration's normal. I want you guys to know it. Frustration's normal. It doesn't mean I don't love the pastor. I loved the pastor, and my whole heart was to support the pastor like crazy. Like, I love that guy. So I didn't want to go against anything. I was very careful, and I wanted to make sure I'd make the right steps into the process. But I started to realize that some of the struggles I was having was structural struggles. It wasn't that there's some gaps being filled. I was rolling. There's some structural issues within the church that things aren't going to change because this is kind of the structure of that. The church is an established church for years and years and years. And I'm like, but the way that they're going, it's not wrong. It's just that there's got to be a different way. And it wasn't I was trying to usurp power by any stretch of imagination. In fact, I was a little bit scared to take on leadership because, it's nice to be the second, right? Now, if you're a second, it's nice to be number two, right? It's great. Because, hey, you get to be like the alternative. Everybody likes the alternative, right? And if something big, bad happens, talk to that guy, right? So you sit back. It's cool. You can be cool and not do anything wrong, really. Clearly, I did. But so in that context, I remember asking the Lord, what's next? Because there was a restlessness. And before, God, should I stay or should I go? If I go, there'll be trouble. But if I stay, it could be double. And I realized in that point that the Lord was actually calling me somewhere else. So first it was somewhere else, lateral. And then the next call of my life was to change within the same area, but in a different position. And then the third one was I needed to leave. And the question was to do what? So I prayed through that a lot, and there's a lot of struggling, a lot of wrestling through that, because I was like, there's a lot of insecurity and a lot of things happening. Because again, remember, it's nice to have security over top of you as a lead. And then the Lord said, no, I need you to actually move. And so the question was, do I move to an established church, which has a beautiful sense, beautiful opportunities, a lot of challenges with that, or to plant a church, which is beautiful and amazing, but you create your own problems. I mean, there's a whole other dynamic there. So this isn't to say necessarily that you should plant or not plant, or you should stay or move to a different position, but we want to give you an opportunity to actually wrestle a little bit and be okay with that. It's okay to wrestle. It's okay to have some checks in your spirit a little bit about things, because what it does is it actually helps you to change and helps you to grow, because without some of that tension, you don't actually grow. In marriage counseling, we talk to people a lot, our premarital counseling, we said that the conflict isn't bad. It's how we deal with conflict. It's how we wrestle with the conflict. It's how you do what those things is really matters. Because without tension, there's no growth. Without heat, you can't bend things. You need to have a little bit of tension. You need to have a little bit of challenge. You need to be a little bit frustrated from time to time. Because without that, things don't change. So it's okay. It's just how we go about doing it. It's what do we do with that. And I think what we want to challenge you, because I don't want to have to ask you, have you ever had that? Because I probably think you have. And if you say you haven't, you're either lying to me or you're lying to yourself. So the question is, what do you do with that? And so this is kind of what we went through a little bit. And so Aaron's going to talk a little bit about kind of what you do with that in the next stage. But when we have this, we call this, we subtitle this the restless associate. Doesn't necessarily mean, it's kind of, maybe it's a bad title. Because as an associate, there'll be times when we feel restless in your current ministry, and there'll be times when you're asking, what's next? What should I do? Should I stay? Or should I go? So, again, it's not bad. So then the question you start asking yourself is, when you do feel restless, I want you to ask these questions. These are the questions I had to ask a number of different times. And again, there's three different answers that God gave me. The one is, are you in the right place? Are you doing the right things? Or are you ready to move to something different? And those are three valid questions. Some people are called to be lifelong associates. And that's awesome. That's fantastic. And you know what? I love people like that, because there's a stability and a longevity to that. I think they can add so much to a church when someone is called to be in a lifelong position in a church and just grow with it and do that. Some people are called to change within that model, and some people are called to leave it over time, to begin or to do something else. So I wrote down here some of the indications you might be ready for a change. Again, not necessarily, as far as lead pastors here go, we have one. We have three lead pastors and probably some others. We're not saying you need to leave. We're not saying that. What we're doing is we're recognizing that there's something going on that you need to start asking some questions and saying, God, what is it? Because this is a growth time for us. And so some of the things that you might be ready for a change within your ministry, a lateral thing, or maybe even moving into a different area of ministry. Some of the questions we start asking ourselves are, some of them are positive and some of them are negative. But one of the questions is there a growing tension between you and leadership? Is there a growing tension between you and the lead pastor or you and the elders? Is there a growing tension? And you need to identify that. Sometimes it might just be the fact that you need to grow up a little bit. It might be just that you need to just realize, hey, you're just taking a role that's not yours. You need to step back a little bit. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's other things. It's okay. Is there a growing tension between you and leadership? Is there a lack of joy? Are you losing a little bit of the passion for the ministry in that particular place? Not losing your passion for God, but maybe you're just losing the passion for that. Is there a growing frustration with maybe the structures and the things, and it just doesn't seem to change? Or maybe the direction it's heading is like, I don't know exactly that's where I'm wired, or I believe God wants to lead us. And is there a desire to lead? I mean, is there a desire to say, you know what, I love what they're doing. I love what's going on. But I think, I would do that differently. And that's not wrong. It doesn't mean you would lead it right. Maybe check our motives in these things as well. But is there a desire to lead? Is maybe a desire to lead differently? Is God putting in you to do something a little different? Is your vision a little bit different than maybe the vision of what God could do in that particular city, in that particular area? God, that's okay. Is God giving you a heart? Is God giving you something that's birthing inside of you for something new? And how does your spouse feel? These are really, really big and interesting and incredible questions. I know for me, I started to ask those questions. I was feeling really restless for a little while and felt very frustrated for a period of time. And we just felt like we were hitting a wall every time we stepped into something. And it wasn't because the church was bad, because the church was good. The church is very good. But there was just something there, and there was a period of time where my wife and I were like, you know, maybe we just need to stop doing vocational ministry so we can do the things that God's called us to do. So we were ready to leave. Not leave God. Not leave the church. Love the church. Loved our church. But recognize that if we continue to work in this context, we weren't able to do the things outside the walls because we had these responsibilities and these things that we had to do because this is my job description. So we're like, well, maybe we just need to get another job so I can actually do something different. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that. Instead, I want you to plant the church. Which is funny because I don't see myself as a church planter. They're the cool people. I wasn't that guy. I'm 40. I was 40 when he planted. Like, I already had gray hair then too, okay? So, but the Lord said to do that. And so it was in that time period we started asking these questions, and all of these things fit our mold. Was there some tension? A little bit. Was there just some different ways of looking at things and seeing that, what if we did this and do things a little bit differently? But what I had to do was to sit back and say, Lord, I don't want to destroy your church. I don't want to hinder what you're doing in this place because you are leading. But Lord, is there something that you're doing in me? One time I had to change a role to help fit a gap. Another time I just moved this into another place in a lateral context. But now it was the Lord was saying, no, I need you to leave. Not because of wrong, but because I have something new. And that so someone else could come into that role and be what that church needs at that time. So what we want to do is in this, so what do we do with that? We want to honor our church. And sometimes we just need to suck it up. You're not the lead. So guess what? You're not. So suck it up. Roll with it. You got a problem? Talk to the leader. But never, ever, ever, ever speak against the leader in public. Amen. Honor the leader in every context. Publicly, privately. But share your heart and your concerns. And share maybe what God might be doing in you. In that, some of you might, through all this, as you kind of develop this and work this, you may decide that you need some continuing education. You need to grow in some areas of your life. Maybe the reason when you're so frustrated is because you really suck at what you're doing. Sorry, I shouldn't say it suck. You really are bad at what you're doing. It might clearly be because you're just not good at it, and it's a role that you have, and you're just failing, and it's you that need to get better at it. That's just true. But in that as well, sometimes it might be that you might need to seek a change in your church. Not leave the church. Not leave to a different place, but you know, asking the leadership, I believe that God has something in me for the next step. Would you be willing to send me into that? Or would we pray about that together? Or maybe it's a lateral move to another church, which is not always better. Just in case you're wondering. Done that before. Not always better. It's greener for a day. Then it's like, oh, wait, you have the same problems? Same structures? Same issues? It's fine, but sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's to seek a lead role. And sometimes it's to be a part of a church planting team. All of this happened in churches in my life where churches that were growing and churches were doing well. So this was not because the churches were crap or the churches were horrible. These were good churches. But the Lord still gave me a restlessness there. So the question is, what do we do with that? Fast, pray, ask some questions, seek his heart, and then consider that maybe he's doing something and there's going to be a change. So now the question is, how do we step into that? So that's Aaron. Aaron, he's clearly the smartest one of us, so he's going to actually tell you how to do this stuff. I asked a bunch of dumb questions myself.
Thanks, Mark. What were some of those key questions? I didn't get all of them. I don't know if they did either. What were some of those key questions you had to ask? Sorry. Yes.
Okay, so some of the key questions.
Unless you all...
No, clearly don't remember. Is there growing tension between new leadership?
Yeah.
Is there a lack of joy or passion?
Yeah.
Is there the presence of some frustration with structures or vision? Does your vision line up a little differently than what God is leading to do? What the church is leading to do? And do you feel as though you're ready to take over some different kind of leadership?
Okay.
Can you mark off us? Are you in the right place? Are you the right person?
Oh, yeah, and that came out that for two, yeah. So those are the questions, literally. Am I in the right place? Am I doing... That's a good question. Are you in the right place? Are you doing the right things? And is it time to... go somewhere else.
Okay. All right, what do you do in that space now? You're swimming and you're drowning. And I think the most important question is there a lack of joy? You know, there's always going to be question marks in ministry. But do you actually enjoy what you do? Do you even like it? I just know so many pastors that, you know, that have said, okay, I did ministry and I did it for so long and yeah, we saw amazing things happen, but then I take a look back and I don't even know if I liked any of it. I don't even know if I enjoyed the last 10 years of my life. And it was kind of slavish more than an enjoyable experience. So what do you do when you're in that space where, as Mark was saying, where there is a restlessness? And here's the bad news, okay? Here's the bad news. I don't have a silver bullet. That's the bad news. I don't have like a, here's your proverb or your principle that now you're going to take with you and put it on your fridge, and you'll never feel like you're drowning or confused and restless in ministry again. Yeah, like Mark said, one of the things we wanted to affirm in you is that restlessness is not a wrong thing. It's just something, it's an experience that we all go through from time to time. So that bad news is there is no silver bullet. It just doesn't exist. And this is not informational. Like, this is not a concrete experience where here's step one, step two, step three, and then you're going to come out the other side feeling a lot better. But I think that in and of itself is the problem, that uncertainty, and I'm going to use this word a lot, that uncertainty is paralyzing to you. You know, when you look ahead in your ministry and you just see uncertainty, what happens is then you don't do, like you're not, when there's an obvious step to take that God has put in front of you, it paralyzes you because you don't know, like you can't see the finish line. You know what I mean? So it can be paralyzing to you. So this is not to say, you know, Scott, this is what you're going to do, okay? Or Lee, right?
Yeah.
I've seen you around, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Lee, this is what you're going to do. However, Mark might be able to do that. He's more of a guru than I am. Because I don't have a ton to share, but I do have this encouragement. It's not that you'll get, like, this is what I'm going to do. It's that you would then have contentment and joy in what you're doing now amidst that restless feeling. I do have an encouragement. There's in the New Testament, there's a guy named Paul. You've probably never heard of him before, okay? But I want to encourage you in the place and value of the journey of ministry. There is such a value of the journey of ministry. We assume everything has to happen really fast. You know, we go into a position, this is what's going to happen, and then we're there for a year and we wonder, like, I'm nowhere nearer than I was before, and we're in this place of despair thinking, God's not working through this. We assume everything has to happen really fast. And we look at books like the book of Acts, and we look at a character like Paul, who gets saved. And he starts popping church plants all over the place. You know what I mean? It's like, boom, church plant, boom, church plant, boom, church plant. And then we look at our own life and we think, what is wrong with me? Like, I'm not doing anything. Because we read in like two chapters in Acts that some dude gets saved and he's popping out church plants all over the new known world. What is wrong with me? Because we assume everything has to happen really fast. And we're in despair when it doesn't. In a matter of a few chapters, this guy's just popping church plants. And it almost is a despairing feeling. We have to have everything figured out now. You know, someone recently said to me, wouldn't it be great, Aaron, if I had clarity for the next 5 years of my life? Yeah, that would be great. But here's the secret. You're not going to. Okay? That's the secret. You're not going to have clarity for the next 5 years of your life. You're not going to be able to see it. Or else we're not going to be people of faith. So we're not going to be able to have clarity in the next 5 years of our life. So that's not the point. The point is you take a step of faith. Okay? You take one step of faith. And you get clarity in that step. And then you still see, oh man, I don't, there's still so much uncertainty in the path going forward. So you take another step of faith. And then you get clarity over that step. And you still don't know what's coming. You know, I'm 4 years into a church plant. I have no idea where this thing's going. There's some things I hope where it's going, but I can't see the way. You know, I was just talking to some new planters just for lunch, and they're just in the stage of ramping up to plant in the fall. And I'm going through a whole bunch of, like, when you get down in the weeds, right, Mark? Like, there's so much motivation to the original, like, okay, we're called to plant in this area, and we're going to reach these people, and it's going to be fantastic. And then when you start talking about, like, budgeting and like, all of the other stuff that they didn't have to do when they were, you know, in another role of the church, all of a sudden, that, yeah, you're responsible for all of this grunt work. And they're like, oh, you can see the glazed over faces, you know? It's like, I told them, like, am I talking you out of this church plant right now? You know, before you even do it. And you can see the glazed over faces of like, oh, shoot, I don't know how to do that. Yeah, guess what? Like 4 years ago, I didn't either. You know what I mean? Like, so now I'm sharing all these things 4 years later, things that I've done. But when I was in their shoes, I didn't know how to do it either. But you take a step, you get clarity. And then you take another step, and then you get that clarity. We're just never going to see 5 years in front of us. But what paralyzes us is we see kind of the direction we're going, but we don't know how we're going to get there, and so we just refuse to take that first step. You know, you kind of get a sense, this is where God's leading me, but I don't know how to get there. But that paralyzing feeling restricts us from taking that first step. That's really my only advice I want to give to you today. So what is that first step you need to take? You won't have everything else figured out. Most things, guys, take a long time in life. Most things take a long time. You know, you might get testimonies at conferences and stuff like that where it's like, we did this, and then, but we used to go to conferences all the time for church planting, right? And you get some guy from the States go up and be like, we planted our church, and by the third Sunday, we had 600 people. We were baptizing 600 people. And at the beginning, you're like, wow, this is incredible. We're going to go plant it. And then you get into it. And for our first year, we saw one baptism. One. You know, like, am I failing? Like, now I'm in the, like, where, God, what do you do? Where am I going here? We saw one person get baptized. Most things will take a long time in life. Most healthy movements take a long time. If you take a closer look at Paul, the guy you've probably never heard of before in the New Testament, we're going through Galatians as a church. And once you kind of dig into the life of Paul, you take a look at his, you know, you track his movement after he gets saved, and it affects every area of life. Things take a lot longer than they look from, like if you just read the book of Acts, right? You go through Galatians, you realize, oh man, Paul gets saved. And then, like, for three, he doesn't go to Jerusalem for 3 years. He spends a bunch of time in Arabia by himself. He goes to Damascus to preach the gospel. He has to share the gospel there. But he's really not in formal ministry for a while after he gets saved. And then you keep reading through Galatians. You know, he's brought to Antioch, which I'll get to in a second, by Barnabas. And he just serves at that church in Antioch for a while. Until God calls him out to plant churches. It's like you read through his, like it says, then 14 years passed, and then I did this. And you're like, wait a minute. What? So he wasn't just get saved and start popping church. No, this took a long time. It wasn't just two chapters. You know what I mean? Those two chapters cover an entire lifetime. Things take a long time. And even in the life of the Apostle Paul, guys, here's the encouragement. Like, there were obvious, inevitable times of fatigue, doubt, and restlessness in ministry. Of course there was. He's human. You know, Acts 11, I'm super encouraged by, because when we talk about just taking that next step and getting clarity of where we are, because we can't see what's going on. I love there's just this little note, because Barnabas goes to the church in Antioch, which is just an incredible church, and I love kind of digging into the interworkings of that church. Barnabas goes to Antioch to see, he's sent by Jerusalem to be like, what's going on in this church? Okay? It's some new church, it's the new hip church, right? What's going on in that church? You go tell us what's going on. And they send the perfect guy, Barnabas. And he goes, and I love the line, he says, he sees the grace of God there. And I wonder, what was that like? Like, when you walk into a room, he's like, whoa, the grace of God is here. You know what I mean? And what is that experience? And I love in that little footnote, when Barnabas does that, he just encourages them to keep going. Like, keep pressing forward. And then it says, he says, remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. In verse 24, he was a good man full of Holy Spirit and faith. It says, just this little added thing. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he finds him, he brings him back to Antioch. And there's nothing else said about it. I don't know all the interworkings of what was going on there. But it was just like that little step that Barnabas obviously felt like this is what you should, like the Spirit was telling Barnabas, you should go get Saul and bring him to this church. And I wonder if it, like, you know, that's the big movements. They're just little steps. One step, two step, three step that God is working through you. That didn't just happen all in one giant explosion, but God working through normal people. And movements take time. You know, there were inevitable times of fatigue and doubt in Paul's life. And he didn't have clarity either. So my encouragement to you is this. What is that step? And I'm not here to tell you exactly what that step is. But we called this your next 5 years because we are unashamedly part of the church planting team. This is not a sales pitch. My dad was a salesman. And to be honest, if I was in the past, I probably would be a salesman. So I'm not going to give the sales pitch. Okay? That's not what we're here for. But we say 5 years because even when it comes to church planting, even if you were to decide in this room, I'm going to plant a church, it takes about 5 years. It takes a long time to prepare yourself, to work through all the details. It's not going to happen next week. You know what I mean? So even, yes?
This question about the five-year thing,
yes.
I often hear that question in interviews.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah.
I was having a hard time answering that.
Yeah, so do I.
So I'm wondering what we think about that in a Christian concept. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's getting ahead of God? Mm-hmm. Asking
great question.
Questions of ourselves?
Yeah.
A strategic plan for 5 years, is that something we probably shouldn't do? You know, or...
I think there's a certain amount of, like, you can know the direction you're going, but you don't know exactly what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have a... Maybe God gives you a passion or a gift for something. Like, I have a kind of an idea of what I'd like to see Restoration Church be in 5 years. And that's the best I could answer that question. Like, do I know all the inner workings of how I'm going to get there? I don't have a clue. You know what I mean? Like, we have some things that we do. You know what I mean? And... You know, the best way I could answer that is, like, I know what the next step is. I'm going to take the next step toward that. But what God's going to do after that, I don't know. Right? That's a good question, though. Yeah.
Lee, do you think that question behind that is, are you all in, like, are you committed these next 5 years rather than you actually know specifically what you're supposed to do in those 5 years? Hmm. Well, I think it's, like, head down, hand on the plow, keep going.
I think it's one thing to ask that question of a church plan. You kind of know what a church could be and should be and what it needs, leaders and staff person in a building and blah, 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 blah. But personally, is that stepping ahead of God by thinking I know what my next 5 years will be?
Yeah.
I just
no, it's, God. Yeah, that's a good question, though. I have something to add, but do you have something?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say... Maybe in that wrestle where you're wrestling through, like, should I even be here? That's probably not the time where you're, you know, interviewing for a position you're not really sure if you really want to do. You know what I mean? Because that might be the answer to you. Be like, man, I don't know if I really want to do this, right? So, you know, if you don't have a solid answer of, like, this is what you want to do, maybe that's your answer.
I think even then we hold things loosely. The Bible is... man plants his way, God directs his steps. It's so we can have a vision for the future, but recognize that if it doesn't turn out that way, God's God, and that's cool. We'll let him lead it. But this is the direction he wants us to head, we believe, and we're going to go. And if he changes it. But we're going to make sure that it's him leading and guiding us, and not fear, and not and those things. And I think in the idea of this next 5 years, recognizing, hey, what could God be doing? And if I don't even know that answer yet, well, you know what, I'm going to take some steps, I'm going to ask some questions, I'm going to take some steps, I'm going to spend some time fasting, and I'm going to take a step in that direction. And then if he says, do this, cool, okay. That's the
step. So Lee, I can affirm what you're saying, because I do struggle a little bit when we talk about vision as a church. You know, I always think back, every church put forward a 2020 vision in the year 2020.
Yeah.
This is what God's going to do in our church. None of them were true. Not one. You know what I mean? Not one was true. Actually happened, right? At the beginning, what January 2020 was, and how everything changed. So yeah, I think you do have to hold those things. Like, you have a desire. Like this is where I see my life heading. But I don't know all the intricacies how I'm going to get there, you know? So, yes?
I think one of the things I found that can be helpful in setting longer-term goals you hold them as prayer goals at a minimum, and then you're taking some faith actions to lead to fruit that you don't actually control. Like, God a lot of times controls the fruit anyway, but at least it helps you take some faith actions in the short term.
Yeah, like one of the things, like for instance, when we're talking about, like, when I'm encouraging to take that next step, right? you know, sometimes I can speak from church planting experience. Let's say you're in here today and you're like, I don't know, maybe God is calling me to plant a church. There's the wrestling inside of me. But you don't know what that looks like. And so you never take that step of pursuing that. Because you don't say, I don't know how that's going to work. I've never planted a church. Maybe this is not for me. My thing would be like, take the step, get an assessment done. You know what I mean? And just keep praying. If God gives you clarity on that, then take the next step. You know what I mean? And so, because that's basically all you're given, right? You don't know what the next 5 years is going to hold. So, someone else have another question? Yeah.
I had a question about, like, leaders stepping into this sometimes can get nasty.
Part Sega.
Can get nasty.
No, wait, the one before that you said.
Oh, leaders stepping. So, let's say I had this restlessness,
yeah,
and then I just break off from my church. I'm like, well, you know what? I want to plant a church, so I'm just going to break off, and I'm not even going to include them in it. Yeah. Should there not be a, like, you know, bring them into it. And that's part of the fear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, and that's part of the steps that you're moving into. So I think, I mean, and it's, Aaron and I want to be very cautious because we want to be careful to say that this is what you do in every situation, because every situation is a little bit different. Because again, in my situation, I could have said this was what it looked like here. It was actually very different. Three stages, and I'm at another stage now. I've been at our church for 8 years, planted a church 8 years ago. And we're at a stage now, it's like, I have a bit of a restlessness in my heart right now. I don't know what that means yet. I'm just praying. So my step right now is seeking the Lord's face right now, asking some solid advice from people that I trust and care about to actually give me some discernment and some wisdom of what maybe that might be. But what I'm doing is I'm not just letting that restlessness go, and I'm recognizing that sometimes God allows those things to happen in our hearts so that I can ask some questions, say, God, what might you be doing? And then, if you're doing something, and I don't know what that quite is yet, but my next step is I'm going to start praying about it in a fast. My next step for me was, okay, I'm going to start talking to some people that might actually help me decipher a little bit of this. And then my next step of church planting was I came to talk to my lead pastor and said, this is what God's kind of doing in me right now. Is that wrong?
Okay.
And then later on, because I want to honor him, it was, you know, I believe God wants me to lead to pastor and to do this. Maybe I need to leave the city. And he's like, no, I want you to stay here. So there is steps and there are things, but I think ultimately right now it's just, where are you?
Yeah.
Is there something there? And then maybe God, what we're saying is don't ignore it. That it's a great opportunity for you to grow. It's a great opportunity for you to see that maybe God has a shift. Maybe God has a change. Maybe God has a directional turn.
Yeah.
And maybe not. Maybe it's just you just need to smarten up.
Yeah. And even you experience it, like say you came to, say, this is just hypothetical. All this hypothetical. You came. One of the first things we would help you do is guide that with that church that you're currently at. You know what I mean? We wouldn't just say, yeah, church plant, yes, screw your other church. Let's get on board. Like it would help you guide through how to bring other people along, so that this calling isn't just like a self-centered, well, this is my life, I'm going to do. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of people that are affected by that, including the church you're currently at and the family. Like whether you're wife is on board as well. So, yeah.
So my dad said, after 10 years at a church, you need to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe like a Lee or others can jump into this. But I'm really interested in your, Mark, like, you stayed, and how did you shift, like, to a different role, or how do you change of that? Was it more, did you feel like you were proactive and it just kind of happened? God moved you, new assignments, there was new new opportunities within that church that you're like, okay, I got to tackle this assignment.
Yeah. I always, I'm a person of honor.
Yeah.
My natural tendency is to bull ahead. My natural tendency, if I see it, do it. As an associate pastor, that's not the way to do it.
Right.
I want to honor my lead. I want to honor the leaders. So what I did is I prayed and I fasted. If you don't have a rhythm of fasting, do it. But do something. It doesn't have to be food. It can be something. But fast, where you're just getting away with God for a period of time. And then I pursued it, and I actually went and talked to the lead, and I said, listen, this is what I believe. God, here are some of the gaps I know that you're trying to fill, but we're not able to do it in this context. I've done this and this. Is it possible that maybe that I could help do that if we just shift a couple things here? And if it's a no, cool. But I want to honor the vision that you have, And so I stepped into it that way. Just very much slow, careful, because I knew the lead pastor that I had, and I kind of knew the guy that he was. So I wanted to be very cautious and very, like, honest with that. So that's probably how I did it. That is how I did it. And it just took a little bit of time. But then he's a godly man, too. So he had the heart of the Lord. And if he would have said, no, we don't need to do this, we don't need that, then that probably would have told me, okay, maybe this is a direction. I don't think it's wrong, but I think maybe then, therefore, this church isn't the church that I need to be at long term. So then in the next, okay, so what does it look like for me to take some steps in the direction that I don't know what that looks like yet, but I'm going to trust the Lord in that.
What do you think? I have a related question to this, because part of what you're saying is to speak to other people at times. Mm-hmm. How do you discern who the right people to talk to are? I mean, you've done with your wife, mm-hmm. or your lead pastor, maybe there's someone outside the church, you want their perspective. And I mean, maybe there's some level of, I think part of this too is like, people when they say they're called to something, sometimes it's just an individual call, mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, yeah.
Okay. I think what I hear you saying, or what I hear you asking is, how do you know who to ask first or who to talk to? Do you have an answer? I mean, you have to develop that in any aspect of your life. I think every one of us, to be healthy at what we do, have to have a group of people around us that we trust. And we have to develop those relationships, those accountable relationships in our lives. So even with arm wrestling right now, I got 3 guys I just talked to. Because I trust them. Because I've trusted them through other aspects of my life, that they're the people that I can go to and count on. But I remind them, okay, this is just us right here, everybody. But I think you have to develop that ahead of time. That's just like personal disciplines, I think, to me. So I think if you don't have that, that's step one. That makes sense.
And they may not always give you an answer.
No, and I didn't even ask for an answer.
They probably won't.
Yeah,
you know,
I asked you to pray and fast with me, so we're fasting together.
Yeah, which is kind of the encouragement, like from one of my favorite passages in Acts is Acts 13. The first 3 verses, there's 5 guys. There was a church at Antioch. There are prophets, teachers. Barnabas is there. Simeon was there. Lucius is there. Manaen and Saul at this church. And I love this verse, you know, because Paul was not like, I'm a church planner. That's what I am. I have clarity in my life. In verse 2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, they were just serving the church and worshiping the Lord. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul. Right? So it's not like Paul was like, I am the epitome of church planter. This is what I must. They were just serving the church and worshiping, and the Lord spoke to them. And also importantly, 2 of them go, but guess what? 3 of them stay. God doesn't send them all. Because 3 of you need to stay at this church. So sometimes, like, when you're asking people, and the Spirit is speaking through people, and a lot of times it's like, we're going to pray that God would, you know, that this, you'd have this Acts 13 time where the Spirit is going to speak to you and say, it give you, sometimes it's that restless feeling of like, I think God's something different for me. And in some ways, you know, hey, John and I are still friends, obviously. He's still my pastor. So I served with John for years. And there was a moment where I got restless in a good sense. Because Temple treated me really well. I was serving there, kind of like Acts 13. I was serving there. They were treating me well. My family was taken care of. I was in a healthy leadership and a healthy church. And the church was growing. It was a really, really exciting time to be there. But I just got this sense of like, I'm not supposed to be here very much longer. You know, and I couldn't even, like, explain what that was because nothing happened that was bad. It was just, like, a restlessness of, like, I feel like maybe there's something else for me.
One thing you guys talked a lot about, like, what is our personal journey from our perspective, like, with God and ministry? But one of the things I think we need to do better as churches go, okay, how do we have to have those conversations with people? I got to say, I was like, okay, it would be a disservice to the kingdom if Aaron wasn't preaching every week. And I was given as much weight of my pulpit as I could.
Yeah.
How can he lead more? Like, so we need to, as churches, I guess it's a two-way street, I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
create
for sure.
Spaces for people to grow to their greatest potential.
Yeah, and I think that's a conversation to have with, like, leaders, like lead pastors and stuff, because as lead pastors, I mean, that's a whole other conversation that we may not want to have recorded right now. But those pastors, no, I'm just kidding. I'm a lead pastor now, so. but you're right. There is that guy. You're right. And so there's some conversations there. And so we wanted to just kind of come at it from, as an associate, we worked for years.
Yeah.
Loved our church. I asked God to get me out of the city of Chatham for years. And God was like, no, you need to stay. And I'm like, God, I'm restless. And he's like, because you need to work on you.
Yeah.
So I had to work on me for a real long time before he was ready to send me somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I prayed like crazy. I was like, God, get me out of the mullet capital of Southern Ontario.
It still is.
And he kept me.
Those are there. In now,
though. What's that?
So those are in now.
Not the ones that are
no,
there.
Not the Chatham.
Not the ones. No,
not the trust me, not the Chatham ones.
But the Lord kept me there, and so I learned through the restlessness that sometimes it's called to stay. And so you have, again, that's that step. Okay, Lord, I'm going to stay. What do I need to do with these next number of years that you've given me? And I just grew.
Yeah,
I learned. I grew in areas I needed to grow in, and then that restlessness came back. It's like, okay, so now it's time.
Yeah.
So, it's just, let's not ignore it. Let's just ask questions.
Yeah. See, my story is like, I was feeling that, and I went to something like this 6 years ago at the Feb Central Conference. It was in Mississauga. And you were sharing about your church planting experience. And so I was feeling this. I had no, and this is not to give him credit for that. I would never do that.
That's not him.
But I had that uncertainty, like a lot of you are feeling, because I didn't know what the future would hold. And in a lot of ways, it was funny because Temple, you know, long before John got there, was not a healthy church. And I was there. And I was looking for a way out for years. It's kind of similar. And I just, nothing ever really came up. So I just served, you know. And, you know, put my head down. And some days I was drowning. You know, some weeks was not great. But I just served through a lot of bad stuff. And then once, you know, I took that step toward church planting, I got like 4 interviews at different churches that I said no to. That if I got those previously, I would have jumped at the first one. You know what I mean? So it was like my church planting experience was not like, hey, I'm at Bible school because I'm a church planter and that's what I'm going to do. It was like, I don't know what it is, but I took that step. I talked to Tom. It was the most awkward conversation in the world. But he gave me, like, he's like, okay. He gave me his number, and we talked, and that was the first step for me. And that's kind of where the journey began. So, yeah.
Any more questions? We're done. Like, we won't let you guys go. We won't let
you
go.
I would like to ask you guys one question.
Yeah.
With the restlessness, how would you discern what is burnout?
You know what?
That's a tough question.
Okay, that
is a good question.
That's a really good question, and I don't know if I have the answer to that, but it's interesting. Multiple churches I've been involved in, and there's been a little bit of burnout within the lead pastors. I first thought it was me, because every time I went somewhere, the pastor would get a burnout, and then so I thought, but I had a chance to really walk through that with some people. There's a difference between restlessness and needing rest. There is a difference between that. The rest is... The burnout, in my experience with people, has tended to come from having to do this and please people here. And there's a need over there, so I got to meet that need. And a need over here, and I got to meet that need. That's a lot of where some of this has come from the people that I've been connected with. So I don't know if I know the answer to that completely. But what I do know, the difference for me was, I love this, and things are good, and I'm in a healthy space. But just something's not where it could be. And maybe I'm not where I could be. I didn't feel tired, restless in the sense of like I needed rest because I was really tired and I just couldn't handle things. It was more, I want to do things. There's more I want to do. I just don't want to spin my wheels doing it in the wrong way or in the wrong situation.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, but it's a really good question. I think burnout is something we really need to talk more about. I think that's why we need people in our lives that we can talk to. We all need to have opportunities for us to get counseling and actually talk to someone who can kind of look at that from an outside perspective to give us help in an area that we don't know all our blind spots. That's a really good question, and I wish I knew the better answer to that other than Is it tired, or just maybe a little frustration with what I'm seeing that could be better?
If you want to talk, we're going to let you go. Because if you want to talk, we'll stay. Do you want to just pray for them?
Absolutely.
The ministry, and then we'll let you go.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. And Father, we thank you that you've drawn us together. And it's funny. There might have been some people here who go, man, I thought this was a different seminar. And that's cool. Or I thought they were going to say something else about how I can accomplish the world in 5 years. And if that's the case, God, I understand that. But Lord, we ask that if there's anything that we said that was important to them, if there's anything that we said that struck a chord that maybe they didn't even know about in their own lives, in their own hearts, Lord God, that would cause them to ask some questions and to seek your face. Because that's ultimately what we want people to do, is to seek your face and to realize that maybe you're doing something that we just don't know about yet. So we just need to take the time, ask some questions, and then take a step of faith towards that and say, God, whatever you want, I'm in. So, Father, I pray your leadership over our lives, that you would continue to guide us and direct us, that you continue to shine your face upon us and be gracious to us. Continue to show us your favor and give us your peace. And we look forward to the next 5 years of what you're going to do in and through us, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our churches, in our lives. You're good. We thank you. Amen.